Erev Shabbat Shalom, Parshat Acharei Mot Kiddushin, a parsha which is just so chock full of ideas and moral instruction and all kinds of other things that you don't know where to start. And I'm going to, actually, despite the fact that there's a number of Rasta Rishas here, I'm going to center in on something which is, maybe gets lost along the way, maybe because it's difficult, but I think it's very contemporary. And very pertinent. There is a run in the beginning of the towards the middle of chapter 19, which is where a lot of these moral injunctions are found. There's a run of verses that address the way that we emotionally relate to our fellow people, to our fellow person, to our fellow Jew. One of those verses is that there's an injunction against seeking revenge, against bearing a grudge. All of this is about the Torah telling us that we have to work not just on our actions, but on our emotionality, on the things which generate actions, which motivate actions. So at the end of the day, that will affect the way that we treat other people. It's that simple. So one of those verses, which is very, very hard, it's much easier to control your body than it is to control your mind, to control your heart. The Torah says, "Lo tisnat achicha bilvavecha." Don't hate your neighbor or your fellow in your heart. Hochiach tochiach et amitecha. If they're doing something wrong, you should tell them. You should admonish them. You should point out what they're doing wrong so they'll stop. Velo tisa lavchet. And don't cause them to sin, because ultimately if you don't stop them, they will. And you have a certain amount of responsibility. We have a responsibility towards our fellow men and women to point out they're doing something wrong. Now that's a very tough, a very challenging business, because nobody likes criticism. Everybody hates criticism. I mean, everybody I know hates criticism. I don't like criticism. But criticism is necessary, because we can't see things that we do. We can't see things that we say. And we need to be able to accept sincere admonishment from somebody else, if we trust them, and assuming that we judge that what they say is true. And that also means that we have to expose ourselves, that if we see somebody else is doing something wrong, then there is a responsibility to tell them that what I think you're doing is wrong, and I think that you should consider to, and you should point out why, and so on. Then, of course, the rabbis in the halakhic literature have a long discussion exactly what's the best way to do this. Rashi points out you shouldn't humiliate somebody, you should take them aside, and you shouldn't embarrass them, and you should do it in constructive form, and you should show how sincere you are. There's a big debate, interestingly, between the Amoraim and the Talmud, and Tractate Erechin, of all the places to discuss this mitzvah of tochacha, of giving criticism, in a tractate which addresses the question of human worth. If I decide to donate my worth to, for example, to the Beit HaMikdash, it's a cash payment, so the Torah gives a whole graded scale, how much you give. Maybe it does have what to do with human worth, but not in the monetary sense, but in terms of a person being judged by their action and by the kind of attitude. You know, we always talk about, you're projecting attitude. Well, our attitudes do, and the kind of stance that we have and the kind of body language towards another person says a lot, and says a lot not just to the person that we're interacting with or not interacting with, but to the people around us. Generally, most of the commentators talk about how should you go about criticism and what does it mean to really hurt the hearer? How can you hate somebody? How can you control that? To what degree? What are the limits of our responsibility to other people? And so on and so forth. But I just heard an insight which really had a big impact on me, and which I'd like to share with you and show how this insight may very well or should have a direct impact on our daily lives. let's read the pasuk again. Let's read the verse again. Lo tisna et achicha b'levavecha. Don't hate your brother, sister, whatever, in your heart. Hochiach, tochiach et abitecha. Admonish them. Criticize them, your friend, for what they're doing. Velo tisa alavchet. And don't bear, you know, don't forbear their sin, or don't be responsible indirectly for their continuing to sin. Because until you point out that they're doing something wrong, you are a partial, you are an enabler. I mean, we say this with regard to addictions, that the person who doesn't confront or doesn't intervene with the person who's the addict is, and just continues to let them go on the way they are, you might even be providing them with the whatever they're addicted to, is being an enabler. But that means part of the responsibility is yours. That's another angle of lo tisa alavchet. But what this Torah that I just heard adds, you'll see in a minute, is something really, really striking. I have to give credit is due. One of the midot, one of the qualities, one of the moral qualities of which I am a tremendous believer, is citing things in their own, in the names of those who, in the, you know, citing your sources. I get a lot of criticism, not a little bit of criticism, the fact that my academic articles tend to be very, very long. One of the reasons why they're long is the fact that I like to write footnotes. I learned this, well, I think it was natural inclination, but my teacher, Professor Yitzhak Twersky at Harvard, was notorious for the length of his footnotes. His footnotes largely are because he couldn't fit everything he wanted into the text, and there's always extra sources, and there's a lot of lumdus in a lot of depth. So his footnotes, and especially his book about the Maimonides Mishnah Torah, they are little essays that deserve study on their own. There's a tradition of footnotes like that that actually was best exemplified by, in the earlier generation in Jewish studies, by the late Professor Salo Barone at Columbia, whose footnotes were notorious, so they were famous, because really they were by themselves little mini essays on the subject at hand, and so on. But anyways, that's one tradition of footnotes. I try to do that in my own sort of limited way, but I also make a point of quoting, making sure to quote every single source, especially academic source or every single secondary source, article, book, whatever, that I learned something from in the footnotes. And the reason is very simple. I am a very big believer in the principle of kol ha-mevi davar b'shem amro, mevi ge'ula or bracha la'olam, that whoever cites their sources, you cite where you learned something from, then you bring either blessing, there are two versions of blessing, or redemption to the world. Shenema Ratomer Hashem Ratomer Estel HaMelech B'Shem Mordechai. When Mordechai informed Esther of the plot against Achashverosh, which is noted at the beginning of the end of the first chapter in the book of Esther, so the Megillah makes a point of saying that Esther told Achashverosh that this plot had been uncovered by Mordechai, and that he should get the credit. Now, four chapters later, when Achashverosh can't sleep anymore, and they read the chronicles of his reign, it comes up that Mordechai saved the king's life and had been rewarded, and this is the beginning of the rise of Mordechai and the fall of Haman. So you see that giving credit where credit is due can actually bring blessing and redemption. I'm not so dramatic. I just think that it's churlish not to give credit where credit is due. If some people learn something from somebody, you have to quote them. Now, if that means that people will say, "Oh, I do," I hope that's not the case. But if somebody's going to say, "Oh, all he does is quote other books," so be it. I would rather be thought not less creative. I try to be creative with the sources I have, right? But less creative, but at least I don't pretend that an idea which originated someplace is not mine, or something which I learned, I found on my own. In fact, I got it someplace else. I would much rather that be the case. So this Dvar Torah the person who came up with this Dvar Torah, what I'm about to tell you, by a man who I don't know. His name is Rabbi Shalom Horowitz, who was the principal at one time of the religious school for boys, elementary school for boys in Kiryat Arba. His successor, not direct successor, I think it's two principals later, Shlomo Levinger. And my wife came home and told me this today. I said, oh, that's what I want to talk about. That's what I want to talk about in my Dvar Torah today. What did this Rabbi Horowitz, Rabbi Shalom Horowitz, say? He said, imagine that on this verse, imagine that you're driving. Right? You're driving. Or better, imagine you're a Trumpist. You're looking for a ride. Looking for a ride. You have to get someplace. And a friend of yours drives by. And he sees you. And he doesn't pick you up. He obviously ignores you. Now, having spent a lot of time in Trumpim, this is Israel, we still do hitch when the buses aren't coming. That's a very horrible feeling. That a person drives who knows you, drives by, sees you, and ignores you, leaving you standing. The response is resentment and worse. You're really mad. You're standing there exposed. You need a ride. The guy saw you. He's got room in the car. He's going in the direction you need. And he walked right by, went right by you. You can't, the resentment really begins to boil up. And it's a horrible feeling. It's against that kind of response that the Torah says, "Lo tista techicha bilvavecha." Why? I mean, you were hurt by this guy. He really insulted you. Why can't you hate them? Says the Torah, "Hocheach tochiach et amitecha." Criticize, admonish your fellow. Now, interestingly, you could interpret, the normal way we would interpret this, the usual way, would be to say, okay, fine. You see him the next time, and you say, you know, you were really being, it wasn't nice that you stared at me, you saw that I needed a ride, you drove in the right direction, you had room in the car, I could see that you had room in the car, didn't matter. You ignored me. That was really not right. Okay. Said Rabbi Horowitz, suggested Rabbi Horowitz, that that's not sufficient. That's not sufficient. The word lohochiach can mean to criticize. It can mean admonish. It can also mean to prove. That's the usual meaning. Hocheach tochiach amitecha. And the targum, the Aramaic targum, could be understood to mean this. Not criticize him. Find out what happened. Lo tisna'at techicha bilvavecha. Hocheach tochiach amitecha. Ask him, what happened? Why did you do that? You hurt me. Why did you do that? Now, it may very well be. I might turn around and say to you, I'm sorry. I accept the criticism. I was thinking about something else. I might have looked at you, but I wasn't. My mind wasn't on you. Or, it's very likely that it could be that he says, what happened if the driver said to you, oh, I'm really sorry. You know what happened? Just before I passed you, I got a call that my daughter fell down and broke her leg, and I had to rush to the hospital, which was on the right way, and I really was just going straight there, and I wasn't stopping for anything else. Hocheach tochiach, lo tisna tachicha bilvavecha. Hocheach tochiach tamitacha. Find out what happened. Clarify what happened. Maybe it's a misunderstanding. It could very likely be a misunderstanding. Don't say he sinned. Once you clarify what happened, it may very well be that it was all a misunderstanding, and there's no reason for any hard feelings. That's if you stay in your own head, it's only going to lead to bad places. It's only going to get to hatred and resentment and imputing to somebody else something that really wasn't. Now, if the person made a mistake, if a person really made a mistake, then that's fine. Hopefully he'll apologize. But nevertheless, it's always best to clarify. Not because you want to you feel justified and whatever. No. Do it because you want to get to the truth. Because misunderstandings can be deadly. Because they can lead to more and more resentment and to worse. I think this is one of those rules in the Torah, which is especially pertinent when it comes to social media. You hear something, you see something. Don't get full of adrenaline right away and get all upset and rush off half-cocked. Wait. Get the clarification. If it's the news, if it's somebody, what something that somebody wrote, clarify, why did you say that? Why did you do that? Why did he do that? Don't rush to the headlines. Don't have your finger fast on the post sign. This is the sin I have. I'm not throwing stones at anybody but myself here. Wait. Veloti sa'alav chet. Don't assume that the person is guilty. Don't assume that the person is a sinner. Don't assume immediately. Ask. Be honest. This is what I think happened. Is this what's going on? Hocheach tochiach. That can be just as effective. Maybe more so. When it comes to getting past situations that incur hurt and pain than being aggressive. Now, sometimes you need tough love when something's obvious. But giving the benefit of the doubt is, in fact, the central message of this pasuk, according to Rabbi Horowitz. And I think it's a very good shot. So we're closing down for Shabbat. There won't be any social media for the next 24 hours. Something to think about. Because words once uttered and feelings not addressed can only lead to very, very unhappy situations. And that's not what the Torah wanted. When it instructs us at the beginning of this part of the parsha, to be holy. To be holy means to be different, to be unique, to try to imitate God as much as possible. Kedoshim tihiyu ki kadosh ani. The nature of Jewish morality, the essence of Jewish morality, is trying to imitate the way we understand God's ways in the world. And one thing that God apparently does is to give us the benefit of the doubt too. Otherwise, how long would he have tolerated us? Food for thought. We'll get back next week. Shabbat shalom.